Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we're here till 5 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text your Triple Play Thursday request. That, of course, was the great Warren Zevon, one of the greatest singer-songwriters ever. And there's every year there is a Warren Zevon birthday bash, and it's performed by the band Androgynous Mustache. This year, it's a week from tonight at Space in Evanston, and Chris Anderson and Charlie Short of Androgynous Mustache join me live in studio to talk all things Warren Zevon. Guys, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So, how you guys been? Been a while since I talked to you.
Yeah, it's been since
October.
Halloween.
Yeah, you guys were here for. Oh, okay. So the last time you guys were here, you do the Halloween bash where bands play.
Perform as other bands.
Yeah. And you guys did Kenny Loggins.
Yes.
How'd that go?
It was great.
Yeah.
Every time we do this, I mean, sometimes it'll be like, collectively we'll decide what we're going to do. And this was one of the years like, I don't want to do this, man. And then it came up to really showtime and we performed like, I'm having a blast.
Yeah.
And it's really, you just gotta, it's like acting, and you just gotta, it is acting. I mean, you are not just performing the songs, you're performing as that band.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a blast. It was a ton of fun.
What was the, what was your set list like? What else did you, did you play any of the, like, duets that he did?
We did Whenever
I Call You Friend, and...
Well, we did Footloose, I mean, we did the hits.
Yeah.
Top Gun stuff, Danger Zone...
Caddyshack.
Yeah. And then there was
we did This Is It.
Yeah. Oh, This Is It. Yeah, that's a jam. Yeah.
It is a jam.
Yeah. What were some of the other bands that you've done in the past? And
That we've done in the past.
Yeah.
Well, the next night I did Boston.
Right.
Oh, how'd that go?
It was
phenomenal.
Apparently great. We won Halloween as Chris.
Oh, you got. Oh, you did. You won.
Yeah.
It was like. I mean, this is Charlie's own crew. And that is a major undertaking.
Oh, yeah.
You don't do that as a five-piece, man.
I mean,
that was heavy, and they killed it.
Did you guys get the guitar sound?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that's the most important thing with Boston. You got to get that Scholes guitar sound.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some good players, and...
The vocals are tough, too, on that. What did you guys play? I mean, because you could just play the entire first album.
Well, yeah, we're doing that again, like in a couple of weeks. But yeah, we did a couple, two or three from the first record, and then we did Amanda and Don't Look Back, and we did More Than a Feeling, Rock and Roll Band, Foreplay, Long Time, of course.
Of course, yeah. You have to play.
We opened with Foreplay, Long Time,
of course.
And I have a couple of folks in my band who are rock school teachers. And so they had everything just perfect.
That's awesome.
So there's a video online, and you can see it.
Oh, is that right?
And Kelly, who's our keyboard player, she has had a couple of, like, back surgeries and hip surgeries. She had, like, a car accident. And so all she's been doing is, like, getting Boston perfect. So in a couple of weeks, she's like, oh, I've got the smoking solo all note for
note. My God.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so.
What were some of the other bands again that on Halloween? What were some of the other guys?
I teamed up with Phil and Gotti, and we did Chris Isaak, which was great.
Oh,
it was really good.
Yeah.
Rachel Drew did Blondie.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we have? We had the Mammals did Bloody Holly.
Bloody Holly, like a zombie Buddy Holly.
And they cranked.
Yeah. They were great.
I think it's really a tribute to those nights, and it was our 15th year doing it.
Wow.
And how much effort and how serious the bands take it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, you're not just playing the tunes, man. You are the band.
Yeah.
You are costume and all.
Yeah.
It's an acting performance.
Now, so did, for the Kenny Loggins, did you guys have beards?
I had a long, Peter Andriotis was Kenny Loggins.
Yeah.
And he had a beard.
Okay.
And he had the sunglasses. He played acoustic guitar. And that's the thing. You look the part. And he looks the part just being himself.
Right.
He really cranked it up a notch.
Right.
And those are tough notes to hit. And he put in the work, and it was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like fun. Now, where are you doing the, you're doing the whole first Boston album?
Yeah, we're doing that at Reggie's on the 31st for Classic Album Night.
Is anybody else doing something?
It's Phil Longotti, of course.
Yes.
Because, no no music thing happens in Chicago without mentioning Phil and Gotti. Hi, Phil.
And he's been in here 900 times, yeah, Phil. And I've known him for like 30 years.
Yeah.
We go back to the 80s Beetlefest.
Right.
We used to go to Beetlefest every year and stay at the hotel, and Phil was always there and hanging out.
And he's doing Cheap Trick's second record, I think.
In color?
Yeah, he's doing it in color.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
That album rules.
Yeah, because they always like try to do like a theme, whether it's like the year or sort of the era. And so In Color is 75 and then Boston 76.
Yeah.
And Phil saw me do it. He's like, you got it. You have to come out. So
that's all. And that's at Reggie's.
That's at Reggie's. Yeah. It's going to be, that should be, it's going to be a busy couple of weeks for me.
Yeah. Clearly.
Yeah.
Well, let's, first of all, by way of introduction for people who might not know who you guys are. I mean, I've known you guys for a very long time. But Chris, tell everybody you're a musician. You play drums. You've been in 900 bands.
900, exactly.
Yeah. And you're originally from?
I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Moved mm-hmm. here right after college in 2000. Right. Geez. I wish it was 2000. 1994.
Man, you could I was going to say, you graduated college in 2000?
I graduated in 2015. I'm 22.
And you've been here since 1994?
Yes.
And did you play music when you were in New Mexico?
I did. I mean, that was a thing. It was kind of like a sports or music type of thing growing up as a kid. And I remember the first band that I was in, I was actually the lead singer.
Wow.
And we did like Clash and Ramones and Replacements and...
Did you play drums at the same time?
Nope.
You were just a front man.
Well, I was just dumb enough to do it. Well, I didn't have any skill. Like, just put that guy in there. Just yell at somebody. And that's really what it was. And I remember the name of our band, we changed it like 15 times, but the first name was the Bronx Cheer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, why?
I didn't even know what it was until...
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Sounds good to me. What's the Bronx?
That's great. And then you came here. What brought you here?
My brother's then girlfriend, now wife, was going to school at Loyola, and I was in Ithaca at college, and this was kind of like an 11-hour drive as opposed to driving all the way to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And
you would come to Chicago.
I would come to Chicago, yeah. And that was kind of, I just, as soon as I got here, I was like, man, this city's amazing.
Yeah. And how long had Scott lived? You're talking about Scott, your brother.
Correct.
Yeah. How long is Scott, by the way, terrific actor.
Yes.
And I've had him on the show a couple mm-hmm. of times, too. But how long has he been here?
On and off since 1992.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. And it's he's still here, right, in town?
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Now, Charlie, tell everybody about yourself.
Sure. I grew up in Evanston and live there now again, and, you know, 40 years. And, I played some kind of instrument for most of that time. Not always well. Mm-hmm. I actually, just the other day, we moved a friend of mine's parents out of their house where I had my first band.
So, come on, really?
Yeah, like, just like 3 days ago. So we.
How was that? Was that weird?
It was very weird because his parents still live here, and like, it's, you know, we see them quite a bit. And he lives out in Philadelphia, and so I'm going to be in town for, I'm going to be in town for like 4 hours. Can you meet me? And we'll move all this stuff out. And we're like in his old bedroom. And
oh, that must have been crazy.
It is pretty crazy. It feels like it's always, when we go there, it's always quite a flashback. He had this dog that would attack everybody. And they had these like, we would rehearse, you know, we'd rehearse the three songs that we knew. We had more names than we had songs or shows. And then we'd go into the house, and then you went down these like spiral staircase that the dog couldn't go down. So the trick was to try to get down it. And I still, it's been 25 years since that dog attacked me. And I still was like, the dog's been dead for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got to get down the stairs.
I got to get down the stairs as quickly as possible so I don't get, what was the dog's name?
Augie.
Augie.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a big, like 180-pound Labrador.
Wow.
He's huge.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's all, you know, very friendly. Once he got older, he's super friendly because he's a lab.
Yeah.
But when we were 15 and really.
And he wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't like the noise coming from
the basement.
No, he
did not.
Augie. Whenever I hear the name Augie, I think of the diner in Andersonville.
Yeah.
I used to go there every morning, sure, yeah. man. I was there all the time. After a night of drinking at Simon's, I would end up the next day at Augie's.
Right next to Callow, right?
Yeah.
Or Kalo, whatever.
That was a great diner, mm-hmm. man. And Augie was the man. He was mm-hmm. the king. He was the best. So that was a lot of fun. That brings back a lot of memories. I lived in Andersonville for a long time.
Me too, and
I spent a good portion of time at Augie's. Great. Dan, have you ever been to Augie? It's closed now, but it was a landmark Andersonville place. I mean,
the best sign in the world.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, absolutely. Old school, total old school, man. And that was those were the days when I would go with Jim Lagelli a lot, and we would meet up.
Wow,
yeah, Jim,
the BC Tap, right?
Yeah,
Balmoral and Clark.
No. He worked, but that was
right next to BC Tap.
Yeah. Yeah,
I remember the T-shirts and the sign. Save the BC Tap.
Yeah, save the BC Tap. That's right. Yeah,
why do you want to save this place?
That was the only bar that the BC Tap was the only bar that I'd been to where they had carpet on the floor.
I was just gonna say that.
How the hell do you have a bar with carpet on the floor? And how many cigarette butts were put out? Because this was back in the day when you could smoke in the bar.
Yeah.
And there's crushed cigarette butts all over the carpet.
Totally.
That was a weird bar, man.
Very different time in Andersonville.
It certainly was, man. It certainly was. All right, guys, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, Chris Anderson and Charlie Short here from Androgynous Mustache. They will be performing at the Warren Zevon Birthday Bash next Thursday, the 23rd, at Space in Evanston. We got information on our Facebook page. We're going to talk more about that and Warren Zevon right after we take a break for the news, which is next. Warren Zevon. He was the best. Yeah, that's Warren Zevon, and Chris Anderson and Charlie Short of Androgynous Mustache are part of the band that's going to be performing at the 9th annual Warren Zevon Birthday Bash Thursday, January 23rd at Space in Evanston. We have a link for more information on our Facebook page. And Chris and Charlie, welcome back, guys.
Good to be here.
That is a great song, obviously. One of many, many great songs that Warren Zevon wrote. And we always talk about this every time you guys come down, the fact that he's never been nominated to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The fact that he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a massive misjustice.
Totally. And the fact that hasn't even been nominated.
Ugh.
I mean, the guy's influenced just about everybody.
Yeah.
And we were talking about on a drive over here, like, there's a reason he hung out with Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a rock musician that hangs out with Hunter S. Thompson. It's probably pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I just want to remind everybody, Bon Jovi's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Warren Zevon's never been nominated. Def Leppard is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Warren Zevon has never been nominated. how old would Warren Zevon have been?
68, I think.
Yeah.
68.
Yeah.
Yeah. He died in 2003? Four.
Three?
I think it was September of 2003.
It was 2003 because I remember he was diagnosed, and he lived longer than they said he was going to.
After his diagnosis, I think he lived about a year.
Yeah, and when he got diagnosed with cancer, he said, "Look, all I want to do is make it to the new Bond movie," because he was a huge Bond fan. The World Is Not Enough was the Bond movie, mm-hmm. and they ended up screening it for him. You know,
It would have been Die Another Day.
The
World Is Not Enough is 99.
Oh, okay. Well, wow.
Yeah.
You James Bond fan?
Maybe.
Okay. So Die Another Day
is the one with Halle Berry.
With Halle Berry. And did Madonna do the song on that one? Okay.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
I get my Pierce Brosnan movies all mixed up.
And because Pierce Brosnan is in a different movie. He's great.
Yeah.
And those movies are terrible.
Yeah.
Like, he's in a great James Bond movie. I don't know. I'd love to see those.
Mm-hmm. You didn't GoldenEye?
GoldenEye's pretty good. Tomorrow Never Dies pretty good.
Yeah.
Michelle Yeoh's great.
Well, yeah.
And the World Is Not Enough has got some great stuff in it, but it's super... Because it was directed by the guy who did the 7-Up movies. And then the action sequences are directed by somebody else.
Yeah.
And so it's this great, like, emotional thing, and then these, like, super crazy...
So Michael Apted directed that?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. I really don't even remember.
Yeah, it's got Sophie Marceau and Robert Carlyle is the bad guy.
Carlyle's the bad guy?
Yeah.
Which one is the one where Jonathan Pryce is the bad guy?
That's Tomorrow Never Dies.
That's Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where he's starting a war to get the cable rights to China for 100 years.
Good reason.
Wait
to
a minute.
Start
wait, a war. I don't even remember. See, I'm not the biggest Bond guy
sure, yeah.
In the world. You know, I thought the Casino Royale was phenomenal.
It was
great. I know everybody loved Skyfall.
Yeah.
Everybody loved that one that didn't do anything. I liked Albert Finney's in that one, right? Running around with a gun. Is that Skyfall or is that
because all of the action sequences in the Craig movies are great.
Yeah.
And actually Quantum of Solace, if you sort of watch it as like a bunch of extra scenes from Casino Royale, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But it's not really a good standalone movie. Like, there's a great car that opens with a great car sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I'm a huge Bond
fan. Clearly. Yeah. This is something I did not know about you.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Bond movie?
Probably I'm supposed to say Under Majesty's Secret Service, but which is a great
Under Majesty's Secret Service is a great movie.
Great film.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Diamonds Are Forever.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's the first one I saw in the theater.
It's just everything that's right about Bond. Connery is just funny enough.
Yeah.
He's angry. He's old. He's 5 years younger than, four or 5 years younger than Roger Moore was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And looks like he's like 20 years older.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's just great. It's just all the way through.
It's funny because, the Bond that I, during my formative years, was Roger Moore.
Yeah.
That was the Bond I grew up on. I mean, the first Bond movie I ever saw in the theater was Diamonds Are Forever. That was his last, Connery, his last
right.
Bond movie until he did Never Say Never Again, which wasn't official.
Right.
But I remember seeing it in the movie theater, and I was really young when that movie came out. I was probably 5 or 6 when it came out. But Roger Moore was like my teenage, years, and it was Roger Moore. And in retrospect, Roger Moore is not very good.
No.
In the Bond movies, and
I think there's some good again because all of those things kind of mash together, and he made a lot of movies really quick.
Yeah.
So looking back on it, I enjoy Roger Moore now more, and I like a lot of those sequences.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the stuff from Roger Moore is from the book. So the plots aren't the same, but all the action sequences are pulled directly.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you look at, I don't know, I forget which one it is, but there's a whole movie where like everything is from directly from the books.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing that a lot in those Moore years. So all those action sequences they're really well composed. And,
yeah.
You know, but he's
and kind faithful.
Of, yeah, yeah. Very faithful.
Yeah. Well, he was the saint. That's why he got the gig.
Right.
So anyway, I did not know you were an expert on the James Bond movies.
Yeah.
Wow.
Neither did I.
Why? You didn't know that until just now?
We'll bring it up next Wednesday. Screw this Z-Von stuff. Let's talk about 007.
Yeah. So here's the deal. So he wanted to, and so they screened it for him.
Yeah.
And he was disappointed.
Yes.
In it. But another aspect of Warren Zevon that we have to talk about is how much David Letterman loved him and the relationship that he had with David Letterman.
Yeah.
And that last appearance that Zevon made on Letterman before he passed away is just fantastic.
It's very touching.
Yeah. And he like Paul Schaefer would, anytime Paul Schaefer was away, which wasn't very often,
Zevon would fill in. He always said, and said to Letterman on his last appearance, said, you're the best friend my music ever had.
Mm.
And, I mean, I think that Letterman's done that with certain musicians, definitely with Zevon, and even, to a certain extent, Tom Waits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are guys that, like, certain other talk show hosts or networks wouldn't want to touch.
Yeah.
And Letterman was like, that's the guy.
Yeah.
I want him on my show.
It was great, because I was a Zevon fan for years, and I love the fact that Letterman embraced Warren Zevon because you didn't see Warren Zevon anywhere, really. He didn't have a lot of exposure on television at all.
Agreed.
Didn't get a lot of, he didn't have a ton of radio play either, And I think people might know some of the songs that he's written that other people have recorded.
Sure.
Like Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me, that's a Linda Ronstadt hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he
wrote Hasten Down the Wind.
Hasten Down the Wind, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, it's interesting that people might have known some of his songs, had no idea who he was or what, because he was always kind of on the fringe.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about this every year when you guys come in. What was your first exposure to Warren Zevon for you, Chris?
It was seeing my oldest brother's record collection and seeing the record of Excitable Boy, and I'm like, who is this weird looking dude?
Mm-hmm.
This is a weird looking
and
dude.
Why is there a gun on a plate on the back of the record?
And then I listened to it. I was 10 years old or something like that. I'm like, this is kind of scary, but kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
what about you?
Probably hearing like werewolves on the radio.
Yeah.
I used to play a game where I would try to guess when I was a kid and I didn't have access to all the records, listen to classic rock radio and guess who was a singer if it was a song I didn't know.
Did you guess was the singer of Werewolves?
Was Warren Zevon.
Oh.
And that, I mean, because he's so distinctive. Yeah. So I remember hearing Lawyers, Guns, and Money the first time. I'm like, oh, that's the Werewolves of London.
Yeah, very distinctive vocal style. No question about it. Yeah, and as we always, mention, incredible songwriter and with a wicked sense of humor.
Extremely.
His songs are, there are some really funny stuff in his, like Incitable Boy is a hilarious song.
Yeah.
Roland the Headless Thompson Gunner, the payoff at the end, like the final line, the final line is so hilarious. I heard Werewolves of London, and I thought it was great and got Excitable Boy and then became obsessed, with him and went back and got the first record and then stayed, obsessed with Warren Zevon all the way up until his death. I just think, one of the best songwriters of all time.
Yeah.
And, the way he mixes music with lyric is just, it's really pretty impressive. I mean, like I said, he's up there with Bob Dylan and Bruce Springsteen and Tom Waits. They just don't make him like that anymore.
No question about it. I love the fact that you guys celebrate his birthday every year. I went to the first couple.
Mm-hmm.
At
the now defunct
Quenchers.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Oh, Quenchers with all their beer. They had like 900 different beers at Quenchers.
And now it's going to be a doctor's office.
Is that that's appropriate.
Yeah. Last time I was here, I needed a doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
Here I am.
I had what somebody told me, the best phone interview. I just told Chris the story. The best phone interview I've ever had the day after that first Zevon show. So we were all hanging out and drinking and having a good time. And sometimes when I'm singing and playing, you can't tell, like, oh, I've had a little too much. And I wake up with a hangover and be like, but I wasn't drunk. And that morning I woke up with a righteous hangover.
Yeah.
And I had this phone interview and I sat in a Einstein Brothers Bagels with my hand in my ear. And I ended up not getting the job. And I knew the guy who I was interviewing. And he's like, he's like, going into the in-person interviews, you were the top candidate. And in fact, that was the best phone interview I've ever had with anybody in my life.
And you were hungover after the. I was hungover that night. The next morning after that as well.
For the next 3 days.
Yeah. All right, hang on, guys. Okay, Chris Anderson and Charlie Shorter here. Androgynous Mustache. We'll talk more Warren Zevon. You guys should go out and check this out. These guys do a fantastic job. And it's the 9th annual Warren Zevon Bash, and it's the 23rd at Space in Evanston. Okay, let's take a quick break, and we got more coming up after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here, and that's Warren Zevon. Warren Zevon, and we're singing the praises of Warren Zevon, as we should, one of the greatest singer-songwriters to ever live. The 9th annual Warren Zevon Birthday Bash is on January 23rd at Space in Evanston. Chris Anderson and Charlie Short from Androgynous Mustache are in studio with me, and they will be performing Warren Zevon songs in honor of his birthday. And coming up, we have the Stories That Matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Welcome back, guys.
Thanks.
Good to be here.
So tell me about the band. Who are you guys going to be playing with?
Pretty much the same crew we've had for a bit. It started out as a five-piece. It started out with me. The thing started with what we were talking about earlier. Reggie's music joint has this album night.
Yeah. Where bands perform full albums.
Records,
yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so, God, this is 2010? No. Yeah. 9 or 10.
Because 2011 was the first birthday bash.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it was probably 2010, I guess.
Yeah.
And we so
September
we,
of 2010.
So we performed Excitable Boy. And we had Neil Alger. We had you. We had me. We had Mark
Winkler. Yeah.
Mark Winkler. Was Aslan on that?
No.
And we had Josh Bell on saxophone. And then we just gelled. And everybody was really keen on the music. I said, I think I said, we should do a night of Warren Zevon because nobody was doing it, man.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, anywhere.
Yeah.
And so we did it at Quenchers, brought in John Aslan, Brian Gephardt on saxophone. And it was great. We did 2 years at Quenchers. We did 2 years at the main stage.
And then Eddie started, I think,
Eddie,
at the main stage.
Edward Torres came in on accordion, who I played with in Milhouse in the Delafields. Then we did 1 year at Martyrs. And then right when we moved it to Space, it was just a really good fit.
Yeah.
And then we brought in Rachel Drew and Alton Smith and Dan Engine Throne. And so now we operate, this year we're operating as a 8-piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
great musicians too. I've had many of them on in studio here, and great stuff. And do you guys add any songs each year?
Every year we add and subtract.
Yeah.
This year, I think we're looking at about 31, 32 songs.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We gotta crank, you know.
Yeah.
But Charlie and I were talking about this earlier. Like, I was listening, just put them on Spotify. Like, there are so many great, well-written, well-crafted tunes.
Absolutely.
And I was in New York for Thanksgiving, and I had it on headphones, and
you're texting
one,
me.
One, I te-
Let's do this one.
I was,
Let's
yeah,
do that
one. Wanted Dead and Alive came on from his first record.
Yeah.
Like, this is on. This is, and I've never really been a spoiler, but yeah, that song is.
Do you guys bringing in this year. Have you guys done Backs Turned in the past?
No,
because that's one of my favorite Warren Zevon. That's on the first album too.
Yeah,
and that's one of my favorite Warren Zevon ballads of all time. I adore that song. It's such a great song. He's written. He was responsible for so many great songs, but the one that you guys play every year.
Here we go.
And we talk about it every year. Is the only Warren Zevon song that I hate. It's on Excitable Boy, and it's called Nighttime at the Switchin' Yard. And you guys, I remember the first birthday bash. I remember I texted Scott Oaken because, you know, he was like, oh, they're playing Warren's. He couldn't come. So I'm there, and you guys start playing Nighttime at the Switchin' Yard. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You're playing Nighttime at the Switchin' Yard? So I texted Oaken, and I was like, these idiots are playing Nighttime at the Switchin' Yard. And he's like, what? You know, he couldn't believe it either. And again, really quickly, the story behind that song was the record executives, disco was popular at the time.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
It's off of Excitable Boy.
It is Excitable Boy. Didn't I say that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So the record executives were like, you know, maybe throw like a disco thing in there.
Yeah.
And the lyrics are just ridiculous, and the song is ridiculous. But you guys, when you guys play it, well, first of all, you dedicate it to me every year.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, even if I'm not there, and I won't be there next week, but I expect the dedication.
Yep,
you will have it.
And Rachel, by the way, last year sent me video of about 4 minutes of the song, because it goes on forever.
Yes,
because it's the song where you guys, because it's fun to watch you guys play it because you get to riff. You know what I mean? Like, you guys, everybody gets a solo. You go back, you know, everybody gets a solo and goes nuts. You guys play it for like 9 minutes.
Well, it wasn't planned. It's evolved into that, because the first time we did it, we kept on, like, it just kept going. Like, I don't know where we're gonna end this tune, man. Why are you solo? All right. We're not going to end? All right, you solo.
And wasn't it that Brian, when we played at Quenchers, you always have to have somebody on the floor, and I think Brian was on the floor.
Yeah.
And he's our saxophone player, and he just kept going.
Yeah.
You know, and so there wasn't any eye contact, and he just kept, like, looking at us, and we were,
And there was, like, hardly any monitors, and so I can't hear what's going on. I can see his saxophone moving, but he's got to be playing, so I'll just keep playing.
Yeah.
So it's turned into this epic thing now, and it's a really ridiculous song. But I love the fact that you guys dedicate it to me every year. And then, and I'm assuming that Rachel is probably going to video, because she was like she was like sort of behind you, and she, you know, moved the camera around. I got to see a good portion of one of the sax solos during it. But it's a ridiculous song. It's nighttime at the Switchin' Yard. But you guys have embraced it, and that's a. And that's a fun thing for sure. So the Warren Zevon birthday bash is on the 23rd at Space in Evanston, which is a really great room.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
And it's great. And it's the 9th annual. Can you believe you guys have been doing this for 9 years?
No.
God, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really crazy. And now before we get out of here, Charlie, you do guitar repair, right?
Yes,
Let everybody know how, if they want to get their guitar worked on.
Sure. Yeah, you can just look. My website is charlieshortmusic.com. Really easy. Charlie, and short is like not tall. And there's a little button you can press if you want to have your guitar repaired. And I still do fancy, crazy stuff. I think I was finally finishing up like this huge project I did over the summer when I saw you last.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, I'll pretty much do any time people come to my house, and you know, especially there's a lot of great guitar repair guys in the city. But you know, if you need something fixed on the weekend when they're all closed or at night, you know, give me a call.
All right, very cool. How long have you been doing that?
Probably 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
I started as a high school kid sweeping the floors, and then didn't go to college. I went. I just started fixing guitars.
That's how you. That's where you. That was your school.
Yeah, 6 days a week at Guitar Works. That's how I met Steve and Johnny that way.
Oh yeah.
That's how I started listening to you, because I would listen to them, and then one night it was one of your shows, and you had Herschel Gordon Lewis.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And oh my God! Grandfather of Gore.
Right before the first
flashback.
The first flashback.
That was a long time ago. Man, that was 2002.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was playing with Preston all the time, and I would listen to, and I would listen to Steve and Johnny on the way home, and I'm like, oh, they're not on. Who's this guy who likes the Gilmore Girls? This is great.
It's one thing is I am consistent. Yeah. I will say that. That was 2002 when I was and I was talking about the Gilmore Girls. I talked about Gilmore Girls the other day on this show.
Yeah.
That's how predictable I am. Well, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Yeah. And then I got to know you outside of that.
That's
really cool.
Yeah.
So, Chris, always good to see you, man.
You too.
And so thank you guys for coming down. That's Androgynous Mustache. And they'll be performing the work of Warren Zevon, 32 songs worth of Warren Zevon right there. And that's always good stuff.
Bring a seatbelt.
Yeah.
Especially during nighttime at the Switchin' Yard.
Yeah. And tickets are still available.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Get your tickets.
For sure. Yeah.
Good. Very, very cool. And it's at Space in Evanston. And it's a 7:30 showtime, 6:30 the doors will open. And Space is located at 1245 Chicago Avenue in Evanston. Can you walk over, sir?
Yeah. I have a car now. So,
okay.
You know, I'm an adult. I will be driving.
Okay. Is it an Aston Martin?
No, it's just a Subaru.
Okay. All right. All right. You guys, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take a break. The news is coming up in just a few seconds.